Matthew chapter 4, and we come to the last of our 41 will come messages. We've been looking at different periods, and the number 40 in biblical numerology is a number of testing. And what we've been looking at is the fact that 41 will come. Even though we go through moments of testing, there will be a time when those testings, when those trials are over. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking forward to the time when 41 will come. And there are a number of instances where there's either a period of 40 days or a period of 40 nights that people have been tested in some way. We've looked at Noah and the 40 days and 40 nights that it rained upon the earth, and we saw God's presence with him in the ark, and how that 41 would come, that the fear of knowing whether or not that ark would actually float, if God's salvation was what it was meant to be, that 41 did come for Noah and his family. We looked at Moses, and there were three periods of 40 years in Moses' life. There was the 40 years he spent in Egypt, thinking he was a somebody, under Pharaoh's house, not really fulfilling the purpose that God had for him. And they were difficult times, and there was a period when 41 would come, but when it did come, he took matters into his own hands and ended up having to flee. And then he spent 40 years in the backside of the desert for God to teach him that he was actually a nobody. And how difficult that was. What a change in lifestyle. But 41 would come. And it did at the burning bush. And then he spent the next 40 years realizing that God could take an absolute nobody and use him for his glory. And he spent 40 years then wandering in the wilderness with the children of Israel. And his 41 came when God took him up upon the mount and saw the promised land in front of him. And so we saw God's presence with Noah, God's purpose with Moses, and then we saw God's provision with the 12 spies as they spent 40 days seeking out the promised land. And that when 41 came, they missed it and ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness. But we saw God's provision even through the 40 years in the wilderness. And Caleb and Joshua were the ones who held on to the fact that 41 would come. It wasn't their fault that they wandered through the wilderness, but they held on to the promise that 41 would come. And then we saw Goliath and God's protection in David as 40 days Goliath mocked the armies of Israel as he taunted them. And we said that sometimes our trials and our difficulties and our tribulations just seem to taunt us day after day when things don't improve. Day after day when our health doesn't get better, we just feel taunted. And yet we have God's protection through it all, and 41 will come. And then last time we looked at Nineveh, and Jonah preached just a simple message, 5 words in the Hebrew, when he said that 40 days and Nineveh would be overthrown, and they repented. So for 40 days, the people of Nineveh didn't realize whether or not God would still go through with destroying Nineveh, but they repented and there was a revival. And we saw in that 41 will come God's pardon. And we come to the last of our 41 will come today in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4. And it says, after he was baptized in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together.
this evening. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come around your word, for the opportunity to gather in this place and to be able to gather online to hear the word of God. And we just ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Whatever the need is of those here in the building tonight, whatever the need is of those sat around a screen, wherever they may be tonight, I pray that you would meet that need. Father, many of us are struggling with this time of testing. Many of us are finding it difficult to see any comfort in the fact that 41 will come. For some of us, it feels like 41 will never come. Father, I just pray that at those moments, at those weakest moments in our lives when the devil tempts us to tell us that 41 will never arrive, help us to resist him so that he would flee from us. Help us to realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Help us to recognize that Satan's roar is nothing compared to the Lion of Judah. Help us to recognize the fact that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ somebody who has promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. And he will guide us, as it were, to that 41. So, Father, we just pray now that you would help us tonight. Speak to our hearts, strengthen us, encourage us, and equip us for what it is that we need in this week ahead. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The first thing we notice with the Lord Jesus Christ here is the timing of this temptation. It says in verse 1, immediately. Immediately after the Lord was baptized, he was taken into the wilderness. Mark actually uses a bit stronger language. Mark says that the Spirit drove him. He was driven. Let me just double check what it actually says. Mark 1, it says about him being driven into the wilderness. It came to pass in those days, he was baptized in John, and straightway coming up to the water, he saw the heavens open. Verse 11, God said he was well pleased. And then it says in verse 12, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. There was no lag in the action. After a great victory, after a mountaintop experience of his baptism, after hearing the voice of his Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," we are told that he was driven into the wilderness. That was part of God's purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. We do not like trials. We don't like them. But unfortunately, trials are part of God's purpose for our lives. It's in those difficult moments. You think about when a muscle, in order for a muscle to grow, the muscle has to break. It is literally torn apart when it's exerted upon. And then as the muscle repairs itself, that's when it builds. How is it that some of our greatest building moments have been at the point in our lives where we feel, where we felt the most torn apart? And sometimes we are driven into these times of test in our lives by the Holy Spirit, by God, for a purpose. We don't always understand it. We certainly don't always like it. But it's incredible when you recognize the lessons that we learn in these times of difficulty. We are never more vulnerable than when we've had a great spiritual victory. You know, the moments when we've come out of church on a Sunday, we felt like, oh, yes, we can do this. I've got a victory over this particular area of my life. And we've made a commitment to the Lord. And Monday morning, the devil has an absolute field day with us. You look at Elijah on Mount Carmel. Elijah's just defeated 450 prophets of Baal and another 400 prophets. It was 850 prophets in total that he defeated. And he had this great victory. God has allowed fire to fall from heaven and to consume the sacrifice. And then it wasn't even a direct threat to him by this person. It was hearsay. He heard that Jezebel threatened his life. And that was it. He was a wreck. After a great victory, he just called fire down from heaven. He's just defeated 850 people. And then one woman. So does that mean that one woman's words are more powerful than 850 nasty people? that's about right now. I think that's what the Bible's saying. Everybody's like, none of the men are willing to say, yeah, preach that. You got that right on the nail on the head. But you look at Elijah, right after that great victory, there was a battle. Beware when we enjoy a great spiritual victory, that Satan comes at those moments to attack. Now, he doesn't always attack when we're on a spiritual high. Sometimes he likes to come in and swipe our feet from under us, pull the rug, as it were, just to knock us down a peg or two. And maybe sometimes, you know, we deserve to be knocked down a peg or two. I learned something new this morning. I said that I was prideful in something, and then somebody texted me and said, "Don't you mean proud?" So that's a humbling experience when you're... Is it, I was prideful, that's right now. Prideful or proud? Both. Oh, yes. Did I say something by accident, but I actually got it right? Fantastic. Okay, there we are. But anyway, there's moments like that that we are brought down to earth, as it were. After a great spiritual victory, we need to be careful. We ought not to puff ourselves up. We ought not to get above our station, as it were, because God hates pride. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Then after a great spiritual victory, we need to be careful because that's the time when Satan can attack. We see the territory of this temptation. It's we're told that Jesus is sent into the wilderness. In verse 1, then Jesus was led up again of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The wilderness was a place of danger. We see that in the Good Samaritan. Going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, they would have gone down through this particular wilderness. The wilderness going from the Dead Sea almost all the way to Jerusalem. I think it's about 15 miles wide, 35 miles long, this particular area, and it's quite barren. It's really rugged, and you know, there's rocks and hills going all over the place. It's an absolute nightmare-looking place. And the Jews saw that as something that represented evil. The wilderness was everything that God wasn't. It's interesting that Jesus was sent into the wilderness to do battle with the devil on his own territory. He'd already invaded the devil's territory because the devil is referred to as the god of this world. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you like, invaded the devil's territory when he was born of a virgin to take on human flesh, as it were. In the temptation, the battle lines between Christ and Satan were clearly drawn. The devil knew who he was dealing with. The son to experience the father's ability to take care of him, that was what was needed in the temptation. And we can see that this helps us in our times of testing. Because not only does difficulties come and testing come after a great spiritual victory, but the testing can come when we're in our own spiritual wilderness, when we've wandered away from the Lord, when we're in a place where we ought not to be. The temptation and the testing is a slightly different point of view then. It comes from a different angle as to when we've achieved a great spiritual victory. The temptation was all about Christ doing battle with the devil. But it was the Spirit that led the Lord there. It was in Mark, as we said, it was the Spirit that drove the Lord there. When temptations to do evil come, they're never from the hand of God. God does not tempt us. James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." God never leads people into sin. The whole purpose of Christ dying upon the cross was to lead us away from sin, not to sin. So God is never going to put temptation in our way to get us to trip up or to fall. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." He doesn't tempt us, but he does teach us through times of trials, through times of testing. And here we see the trials of this temptation. Maybe when we go through these difficulties, the Lord wants us to recognize that we have to rely upon him You know, there are times in our lives, we want everything sorted out. We want everything. We want all our ducks in a row. We want everything planned. We want, wouldn't it be great if life worked that way? You know, when we go on holidays, Joe is a list person. There are lists for everything. Joe is even the type of person, if we write a list in the house to get things done, if we do something that wasn't on the list, Joe will go back and write it on the list just so she can tick it off. There's quite a few people going, yeah, I do that as well. But we like to have everything planned if we go on holidays. We like to have all of that planned out. Wouldn't it be great if we could plan our life out just like that so it goes perfectly, that the flight leaves on time and that, you know, we're in the right place and that everything just runs smooth. That would be wonderful. But life doesn't work like that. Life is full of trials and difficulties, and there are times when we are tested. Maybe the Lord knows that we do our best growing in those testing periods. You see, when everything goes our way, we don't always rely upon God. When everything is going smoothly, we don't always acknowledge God. We tend to take things for granted. How many things have we taken for granted that we don't realize that we were taking for granted until now, that we can't do it? How many of us ever took the, you know, kitchen, a loved one, for granted before? But now we're not allowed to. And we recognize how important that is. How many of us ever took for granted just spending time, quality time, with somebody, not sat in a garden 2 meters apart or talking to somebody through a window or just trying to meet up and speak to somebody across the street, to actually just sit down and spend time. And we don't realize what we've got until it's gone. And it's the same from a spiritual point of view sometimes. When things are going our way, when everything goes smoothly, when everything is all our, you know, ducks are lined up in a row and everything is just going so smoothly, one after another in our Christian walk, oftentimes we forget about God's blessings. It's not then until we're in those trials and we're in those difficulties and we're in those times of testing that we recognize how much we need to call out to God, that we realize how important the Word of God is, where we realize how privileged we are to be able to pray to God. In that wilderness place, Christ was on his own. He was not surrounded by friends or family. He was shut off from a time to be tested. And can I say this, that there are many people going through the same thing right now who feel lonely, who feel afraid, who are going through a period of test. And can I say this, keep looking to the Lord, because 41 will come. It will. This period will not last forever. It will be over. How many times during those 40 days did Satan tell Jesus that no one cared? You see, it's not just the three temptations. They're just the ones that are recorded. And it's not just at the end of the 40 days that he was tempted. I think that's the three most trying of his temptations. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted for 40 days. How many times in that period did Satan say, you meant to be God's son. Well, where is everybody? You were meant to be the Messiah that Israel's waiting for. I was there when the prophecy was given back in the Garden of Eden. Where is everybody? You're all on your own. Nobody cares. They've missed it. How many times does Satan come and spout the same lies to us every single day when we're at our lowest, when we're at our weakest spiritually? How many times does the devil, the father of lies, come up to us and say, no one cares? Well, can I say this to you? Nobody may care about you in this world, but there is somebody that cared enough for you to give his life upon the cross of Calvary. And because he gave his life for you on Calvary's tree, he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. So Satan can never ever come up to you and say nobody cares, because that's not true, because Christ does care. How many times during that 40-day period did Satan tell Christ he was foolish for trusting God? How many times did he point out that he was all alone, that he had no food, that he had no friends? There are many times in our lives where we feel just like that. And maybe we feel like 41 will never come. That the light will never come on at the end of the tunnel. That there'll never be any hope. That things will never get any better. That things will never change. Well, at that point, we need to get our heads out of the shed and start looking to the Lord. Satan can't get our hearts, but he'll go after the mind. And we've got to resist the devil. We've got to make sure that we've got that shield of faith all prepped up so that we can quench the fiery darts of the devil. We've got to make sure that the helmet of salvation is on so that we tear down those strongholds, that we think on things which are just, true, holy, and honest, that we don't allow the devil's lies to creep into our ears. Even when it seems like we're all alone, we're not. Because the Lord is always there. He's promised to never leave us and to never forsake us, and he never will. Christ knows how to heal the lonely heart. Because he's actually been there. You know, our high priest was tempted in all points like we are tempted. There is nothing that we can go through that the Lord doesn't know how it feels. You know, that's the one frustrating thing as a pastor, when somebody tells you their problems, that you can't always empathize them. You can't always say, I know exactly how you feel. I was talking with a family this week who have gone through great tragedy. And they said the most difficult thing is when people try and tell you how it'll get better. Because they said they have not got a clue how we feel. The Lord knows. The Lord knows how you feel. He knows when we're at our wit's end. He knows when we're lonely. And we don't know how long our time of testing will be when it does come our way. But here's the thing. Our duty is not to force 41 to come. Our duty is simply to trust God until 41 comes. That's it. You ever got involved in things and only made matters worse? Try to fix things. You know, maybe Hannah and Eve would get into it when they were younger. You know, kids are like arguing. Well, I say when they were younger, they were doing it last night. You know, when they're arguing, and then you think, right, I'll come in and I'll fix this. I'll make things better. And you just basically pour petrol on an already flaming fire. And you just make matters worse. I'm quite good at that. If you want fuel added to the fire, I'm your man. If you want a fire put out, call 999 and get fire out. But sometimes we do that from a spiritual point of view. We try to fix things, or we try to force God's hand, and then we make things worse. We try to force God's will. We can't force 41 to come, but what we can do is we can trust God to get us through those 40 days, to get us through that period of testing, to get us through to the end, to 41 as it were. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Don't force God's hand. Just trust him that he'll get you through to 41. We see, as we said, we're looking at the trials of the temptation. And the first temptation we see in verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In this temptation, Satan questions the Son's relationship with the Father. If thou be the Son of God. Look at you, you're starving in the wilderness. If you're meant to be God's Son, why isn't he taking care of you? Why are you starving to death? Use your power to turn these stones into bread. Could Christ have turned the stones into bread? Absolutely. Of course he could have. He was the one that created the stones in the first place. We know that he could do those type of things because we saw him turn water into wine. We saw him feed 5,000 people with no problem at all. Could he have done that? Of course he could have. Christ answered, the devil shows the condition of his heart. He would rather starve to death than be out of the Father's will. Being in the center of the Father's will meant more to Christ than food or life. You know how difficult people find it to be in God's will? That ought to be our primary task, to know what the will of God is for our lives, to seek to do God's will in our life. I remember Pastor Ed saying that was the greatest discovery of all time. That was the greatest knowledge of the believer, to know what God's will is, to find God's will. And the greatest performance of a Christian is to do God's will. That's what Christ wanted to do. What a challenge to us. How easy it is for us to do things that we would desire to do. I don't want to do that. That's a difficult part of God's will. So I'd rather not do that. I'd rather not go through this period of testing. Even though this is God's will for my life at this time, even though God is showing me incredible things through his word during this time of testing, even though God wants to take me from this level of a Christian to this level of a Christian through this time of testing, I don't want to do that. I want to bypass God's will and just get to the other side as unscathed as possible so that we can just crack on with our lives. Christ just wanted God's will to be done in his life. But how many times has the devil come alongside us and said the same thing, has attacked our relationship with the Father? And said something like, call yourself a Christian. At our lowest times in our lives, in our wilderness experiences of our Christian lives, that's the moment the devil has come alongside and said, oh, why are you going through this then? You're a Christian. You're meant to be God's child. Christ was meant to have given his life upon the cross for you. So why are you in this situation? Why are you going through this difficulty? Does God really care? Does God really love you? And the answer to those questions is yes. God really does care. Yes. God's love for us will never change. But at those weak moments, they are the times we tend to give sway to the devil's words. Oh, maybe he is right. It's exactly what happened with Eve. God had given them one specific command. They didn't have much of the Bible to obey. Just one command. You can do anything else in the garden. You can eat of every tree. Just leave that tree alone. Don't eat that fruit. Does God really care for you if he's that mean to not allow you to eat that fruit, even though they've got access to everything else in the garden? Does God really care for you, Eve? Oh, maybe he doesn't. Be careful when the devil starts whispering nonsense in your ear. Get back to the Word of God. Forget now, the Lord Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And what did he use to rebuke Satan? What did he use to rely upon for his strength? The Word of God. It is written. And just so you know, as a Christian, you are allowed to use the Old Testament. Because that's what Jesus used when he quoted Deuteronomy 3 times as the devil is tempting him. You are allowed to use the Old Testament as well. That does work in terms of application in our lives. And then we see the second temptation. And here, Satan tries to get Jesus to perform the miraculous out of the will of the Father. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. This spot, the pinnacle of the temple, was about 450 feet high. And Satan is clever because he misquotes Psalm 91, because he left out the phrase that says, to keep thee in all thy ways. That's God's promise, to protect the Messiah as he carried out the Father's will. Satan always wants us to get to step outside of the will of God. Jesus responds in the proper way. He responds by faith. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It's never right to operate contrary to God's will, regardless of the outcome. God will always honor obedience. Samuel said to Saul, it is better to obey than it is to sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And there's a lesson for us again. Because oftentimes, as believers, we can use the argument that the end justifies the means. Well, I know that this is a little sin, but the outcome can be used for God's glory. That never works. The ends will never justify the means if the means is contrary to the will of God. If the means is contrary to the word of God, the end will never justify, or the means will never justify the end. Obedience to the word is our responsibility. And in these periods of testing, while we're waiting for 41 to come, it can be quite easy for us to almost want to step out of the will of God, to force these 40 days to get over with, to force these days of testing to be done with. But God will always bless obedience. And then the third temptation. Satan, as the God of this world, offers Christ the kingdoms of the world. Satan is attempting Jesus to accept the crown and bypass the cross. For a simple bow to the limited sovereignty of Satan, Christ could skip the pain of Calvary and have the world fall at his feet. Here's the thing. The Lord Jesus Christ never rebuked Satan and said to him, whoa, 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 these kingdoms are not yours to offer. We need to be mindful that Satan is the God, little g, of this world. But Jesus responds in a way that honors God once again. Only God is worthy of our worship. There is no amount of compromise in our period of testing. There is no amount of compromise that will justify us not worshiping the Lord. He's worthy of our worship. We understand that Christ didn't come to this world just for a crown. We understand there's a crown in his future, and we look at that on a Wednesday night, but the path to that crown had to go through Calvary. There was no bypassing. There was no skipping a step. And sometimes it's the same for us. God has a purpose for our lives, and he wants to get us from here to here, but we want to bypass the testing periods. We want to bypass the 40 days, and we want to go straight to 41. You know, Jo has suffered with her back now since about 2009. And there are times still where she can't walk and she can't move and she's bedridden. And she'll say the same thing. And she's not just saying this because it sounds good. She will say the same thing. If she could go back to 2009 and never have a bad back, never have the disc disease that she's got, and unlearn all the lessons that God has taught her, all the things that God has shown her, she wouldn't want to do it. I kind of think if that was me, I'd like to bypass the 40 and go straight to 41. But I wonder how many points in our lives where we've been tested, where we've been tempted, where we've been tried. How important are those spiritual lessons? How vital has that spiritual growth been for the rest of our walk with the Lord? Satan will always have us take the easy way. Satan will always have us take the painless way. He will promise you an easy path. Just allow him to be the ruler in your life and everything will be plain sailing. And do you know what? For the world that rejects Christ and accepts Satan's lies, yeah, they might have plain sailing for the amount of time that they're here on earth. But that plain sailing ends when they stand before the great white throne judgment seat. There's no plain sailing then in the pits of hell. There's no plain sailing when they're cast into the lake of fire. Satan will always encourage people to take the easy route. God's will is that we simply walk in his ways. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Luke tells us here, we see that finally the testimony of this temptation. Luke says, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. 41 would come. Maybe there were periods during that 40 days as one temptation after another just came relentlessly. And maybe the Lord thought, this is never going to be over. And maybe we feel like that at times. You know, we feel like Job, where there's just one bit of bad news after another. And then before the one bit of bad news ends, there's another bit of bad news coming in. And then something else happens. And it just feels relentless, like it's never ending. And we feel like this 41 will never come. Just be mindful of the fact that if we turn to God's word as the Lord Jesus Christ did, he'll get us through those tempting periods in our lives. He'll get us to 41. 41 will come. Christ was tempted in every way that mankind is tempted. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Christ was tempted in the physical realm. He was tempted in the emotional realm. He was tempted in the spiritual realm, just like we are. He knows what it feels like to be tempted. And he can help us. When you think about the temptation that took place in the Garden of Eden in a perfect environment, and then you consider the temptation that took place in the wilderness, an environment which is in complete contrast to the first temptation. Adam and Eve failed that temptation. And as a result, sin entered the world and death entered the world, and sin and death was passed on to all men. In a perfect environment, they failed. What Adam failed in the perfect environment, Christ conquered in the wilderness. What am I trying to say? Do not blame where you are as a reason for giving in. You know, people say, oh yeah, but if we were in, like some kind of utopian society, then everything would be all right. Makes no difference. You'll never change man's heart unless man comes to know Christ as their Savior. It doesn't matter how perfect an environment is. Yeah, but if I could just, get that perfect job, if I could just get that perfect car, if I could just get that perfect mate, if I could just get that, we're always expecting something better. But here's the thing. Christ has already given us everything we need. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. If you were in a period of testing right now, if you were in that 40 days, wherever it is, at whatever point, just going into it or hopefully just coming towards the end of it, don't listen to the devil's nonsense. Don't listen to the devil's lies. He wants you to give up. He wants you to stumble. He wants you to fall. He wants you to fail. God's word is a powerful weapon to have. Watching the Lord Jesus Christ in these tempting times can help us through ours. He was filled with the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Word of God. Every time the devil tempted him, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Christian, don't stay away from the Word of God when your times of difficulty come, because that will just be a recipe for disaster. If we want to be successful in our battle with the flesh and the devil, then we have to be living lives that are controlled by the Spirit. Christ fought the battle so that we could have the victory. Can I say this tonight? And this is my final thought. 41 will come. 41 will come. Whatever it is you are facing right now, 41 will come. I never thought that we would still be here almost a year later. Back in March the 15th, in our last service here in church, all together, when they announced the lockdown the following day, I thought, we'll be right by the time we come to the men's retreat. And then it was, maybe we'll squeeze the ladies' retreat in. Maybe that'll work well. Hopefully we'll be all right for Christmas. And now we're talking about doing Easter again, the same way we did the Christmas cantata. And will summer camp go ahead? Will we have this year's men's retreat? Will we have a holiday Bible club? And it doesn't feel like 41 is coming. You listen to the Prime Minister and the First Minister, you think, they're adding numbers between 40 and 41. They just keep adding more numbers. But don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Because our hope has never been in a vaccine. Our hope has never been in our politicians. Our hope has never been, as wonderful as they are, in our medical professional staff. Our hope is in the Lord. That's what our hope is. And 41 will come. Don't listen to the devil's lies when he tells you that God doesn't care. Don't listen to the devil's nonsense when he tells you you can't go on, because he does care, because he does love us, because he will get us through. And 41 will come. I don't know when it'll come, but I know that it will come. Why? Because God's not finished with us yet. We've been saved for a purpose. God wouldn't just save us and then not use us for anything. God's got a purpose for us. And I truly believe, as we're in the last days, I truly believe that God's got a purpose for the church, for his church. And who knows? Maybe when 41 comes, we'll see a Nineveh-like revival like never before. Because we've been through such a time of testing that we've really learned how to rely upon the Lord, how to study his word, and how to worship God like he deserves. 41 will come. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this day and for this time together. I just pray that if there's anyone listening to this message tonight that is struggling, is being tempted by the devil, is really finding it difficult in these days, I just pray that you would help them to find the comfort that they need from the word of God. If there's anyone here that is lost and has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, Father, I pray that they would just recognize their need, see their sinful condition before a holy God, and just believe that Christ died upon the cross for them, that their sins might be forgiven, and that their name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and their promised home could be heaven. Father, would you just speak to hearts tonight? Would you help us? Would you encourage us? Would you strengthen us in these difficult days and help us to take comfort from the fact that 41 will come? We love you and we praise you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Andrew's going to come for us now and sing our last hymn, and then when you've finished singing, Andrew, if you can close us in a word of prayer. Amen.
Whenever he may guide me, sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where dark the clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure, my path to life is free. My Savior has my treasure, and
Father, we praise you. We've been able to come together again this evening, our God. We thank you for the messages today, both through the Sunday school, the message this morning, and the message this evening, our God. And we pray for everybody in the pew tonight. We pray thy blessing upon each family represented here, our God. We pray that you will be with each one of us as we part now. We thank thee, our God and Father, for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who suffered those temptations in the wilderness. We praise thee that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have one in thy presence, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. And we praise thee that he is there at this very moment on our behalf. We thank thee we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's no reason for loneliness, our God and Father. There's no reason to be downcast. We pray that you will help us, that we might look upward and forward and not downward. We pray thy blessing now upon each one of us as we part in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.